Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed the child in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my Father in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. Today, on the memorial of the guardian angels, we seek to deepen what we pondered a few days ago on the feast of the archangels, that the angels are constantly ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and ascending and descending upon each of us incorporated into his mystical body, ascending and heading to the throne of God where they pray for us, and descending precisely to serve us and help us to get to that place where one day we will be beside them praising God at that throne. On Tuesday we examine the missions of Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, how they are precisely sent to us in order to help us to achieve God's great gift to salvation. Today, we look far more personally at those particular angels God has given each of us to help us at an individual level become ever more God's image and likeness. The reality we have to confront is that many of us are oblivious in day-to-day life to the presence of our guardian angels. This is a larger problem of what we can call scientism, the rationalistic understanding that the only thing we can know, we can observe with our senses or with scientific instruments. So many of us go about our life without an awareness of the supernatural realm, of the angels on the one hand, of the devils and his fallen angels on the other. Where we theoretically believe that they could exist, we live as if they don't. Today's feast is a chance for us to open up to the truth that reality is much broader than we ordinarily recognize. The guardian angels we celebrate today are one of the most important practical realities of that much broader order. That God cares so much for our salvation that he won't leave us all on our own. That God sent a personal celestial bodyguard and guide in order that his salvific will be accomplished. And therefore, we could simplify the entirety of the Christian life as saying it's faithful obedience to our guardian angel, just letting him do his job. If all we do is allow our guardian angel to do what he wants to do, we will become canonizably holy. But a lot of times, just at a day-to-day level, most Catholics only think about the guardian angel if they come to daily Mass on October 2nd. Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us that the whole life of the Church benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels. In her liturgy, the Church joins with the angels to adore the thrice holy God. She invokes their assistance. From its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by their watchful care in intercession. Besides each believer, St. Basil the Great tells us, stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him or her to life. Already here on earth, the Christian life shares by faith in the blessed company of angels and men united in God. It's the Catechism's clear teaching on the angels, that they exist and they're here to guard and protect us, to be, in a sense, the minister of the Good Shepherd, leading us, no matter what we're experiencing, to the eternal verdant pastures. Today in the readings, we see some of what the guardian angels seek to do for us. First reading from the book of Exodus, God tells the Israelites, "See, I'm sending an angel before you to guard you on your way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Be attentive to him. Heed his voice. Don't rebel. If you heed his voice and carry out all I tell you, I'll be an enemy to all your enemies and a foe to your foes." We know who our enemies are and who our foes are. They're not the ones who in this world oppose us. They're those principalities and powers against whom the angels are even stronger. God calls us to acknowledge that he has sent his angel in front of us. He wants to protect us and from harm and guide us to the place God has prepared. But God wants us to be attentive to him, to heed his voice, to carry out all that he tells us through him. And if we do so, then God confirms that this angel will be at our side because we've placed ourselves through following the guardian angel on God's side. In the responsorial psalm, these points are re-emphasized. "For to his angels he has given command about you that they guard you in all your ways." The angels are in charge of us to guard and guide us in all aspects of our life. All aspects of our life. That's all part of their descent in loving service. But they also do something perhaps even more important for us. They ascend. They pray for us. Jesus tells us in the gospel, a point that we need to echo. I'm convinced that if women threatened by abortion were to recognize that the guardian angels who exist of their children growing in the womb were praying not only for their children, but for them at the very moment, the choices would be a little bit more clarified. To open people up to the fact that God cares and there's this whole celestial realm who is aware of the existence of that young child made in God's image and likeness who already has a special celestial guide. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always are looking upon the face of my heavenly Father." What a great consolation to know that these personal heavenly bodyguards, companions, and dark valley guides are always interceding for us as well. God tells us today we need to be attentive to our guardian angel and heed his voice, not to rebel, but to carry out what he tells us and trustingly and freely follow his commands at all times. How do we do that? None of us wants to disobey, obviously, what God commands. But how do we follow someone we can't see? How can we heed someone whose voice doesn't register on a decibel meter? How can we observe commands that are not communicated in ways that up until this point, at least, we haven't been able to perceive? The first thing we need to be is aware of our guardian angel's presence. To recognize we're not alone, we're never alone. Even if we can't perceive him with our five senses, to recognize that he's nevertheless there as the biggest supporter we have ever had, seeking to help us. What love God the Father has shown for us, in giving us such a person who so humbly and hiddenly is always there, wanting absolutely nothing but the best for us. Secondly, we need trustingly to ask for the guardian angel's help. Today we can ponder how to do that with regard to our prayer, to our work and action, to our mission to spread the faith to others. Three main aspects of our life. How can our guardian angels help us to pray? With our prayer, we can first pray to our guardian angel. It's a great prayer that many of us learned as children that we should pray with fervor. It's based on what we ponder in sacred scripture today. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom his love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to guard and light to rule and guide. We can secondly rely on our guardian angel's prayers for us before God's throne, because he's always looking upon the face of the Heavenly Father and interceding for us. We can also ask our guardian angel to help us to pray and pray better. We can ask him to pray alongside of us. When we're aware of our guardian angel, we're always praying in communion. There are always two or more gathered in the Lord's name. We know that there are four different forms or types of prayer we make to God. Our guardian angel can help us in each of the four. First, and by far the most important form of prayer, is praise. When we give God honor for who he is and love him for as lovable as he is. No one can teach us better how to do that than the angels who have been praising God before his throne since the foundation of the world. We wish to make our own the words we prayed on Tuesday. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, O Lord. Second form of prayer is thanksgiving, and our guardian angels can help us not only to thank God for the grace we're aware of, but of the vast many more of which we're unaware. For example, our guardian angels are aware of the many times we may have died if God, through their work, hadn't intervened to keep someone off the road who may have collided with us. They can fill us with thanksgiving for every grace, seen or unseen. Third, they can help us to pray for forgiveness with great contrition. Our guardian angel knows of every sinful thought, of every lie or bad word, every sinful action, every time we should have been the Good Samaritan but walked in the other side. They were commissioned by God to protect us from those sins, but they can't control our will. They need our cooperation. And for that reason, how much shame we've brought them through our sins. But at the same time, how much joy we've brought them when we've responded to the grace that they've sought to bring us to convert, to go to confession, to begin again and again and again that new Christian life. If you're ever struggling with contrition, just ask your guardian angel to open you up to his contrition and his reparation for all, even the littlest sins that we've committed. And the guardian angels likewise help us in prayer for intercession for others and petition for ourselves. They're constantly interceding for us and for our good intentions for others before God's throne. They teach us similarly how to pray without losing heart. With our work and daily life, they can really help us too. Many times when I'm faced with work I'm unenthusiastic to do, and we all confront that, I ask my own guardian angel's help to do it well, quickly, and in a holy way, offering it to God and for others. When I need to do something that I find hard, to solve a problem I can't figure out, I ask my guardian angel's help to find a way toward a solution. When I'm waiting on hold on the phone, I pray through my guardian angel to the guardian angels of the person on the other line, asking for them to come quickly rather than go and get another cup of coffee or waste time. When I'm looking for a parking spot in order to be able to anoint someone, I ask his assistance through someone else's guardian angel to have someone in the neighborhood to remember to run an errand so that I can find the place and head into the home. They want to help us and to guide us in all our ways. And they're not upset to be asked for this help for things that will help us to do what God is asking us to do. With regard to the mission we have to spread the gift of our faith to others, the guardian angels are particularly helpful. How many preachers, including the one speaking now, have the pious custom of invoking the guardian angels of all those who are about to listen to their homily? When we're seeking to have a conversation with someone about some aspect of the faith, we can pray to the guardian angel of the other to help open the person up to receive well what our own guardian angel wants to help us to say. Your work, anytime you're talking to a woman in distress, please recognize that it's always 3-on-1. You, your guardian angel, and that woman's guardian angel. And probably if the woman's pregnant, fourth guardian angel. All to try to open the person up to receive well what you're trying to do for God. So no matter how stubborn a person is, no matter how intransigent the person might seem, never give up, because the odds are in our favor. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, who on this day 87 years ago received the light from God to found Opus Dei, this way of sanctification in the midst of ordinary activity. He always had a great devotion of the guardian angels. And his practice was always, when he entered a room, he would always quietly within himself greet the guardian angel of the person whom he was meeting before he would even greet that person. To just be aware of what's really happening. And if you can keep your eyes on the fact that the guardian angel is likewise there, how much it opens you up to all other sources of supernatural help. He always called the guardian angel the big shot in the room, el personaje. Especially when we're seeking the conversion of someone on a particular point in general. Let's never stop invoking the help of the guardian angels. We're so happy we're willing to collaborate with them to bring about the conversion of the person, especially the one in the other guardian angel's charge. I want to finish by pondering how our guardian angel seeks to help us to get to pray the Mass better. A couple years ago, I discovered a Bolivian mystic. It's been locally approved, but even if it were still under investigation, strikes me, because I've been asked to do similar investigations, that there's nothing in what was said that is at all contrary to our faith, but seems to be in total alignment with what the Lord has said to other mystics. We know as Catholics we're never obliged to accept private revelations given to others. But the reason why private revelations are given is to remember something in the full public revelation or apply it better. And this mystic, Catalina Rivas's reflections have always been to me very helpful in opening up to what really occurs at the Mass. At the time of the offertory, she says, God showed her that suddenly some characters, these are her words in one of her visions of what the Lord, she says, helped her to see. Suddenly some characters whom I had not seen before began to stand up. It was as if from the side of each person present in the cathedral another person emerged. Soon the cathedral became full of young, beautiful people. They were dressed in very white robes, and they started to move into the central aisle and then went toward the altar. Our mother said, observe, they're the guardian angels of each one of the persons who are here. This is the moment in which your guardian angel carries your offerings and petitions before the altar of the Lord. She went on to say, at that moment I was completely astonished, because these beings had such beautiful faces, so radiant as one is unable to imagine. Their countenance was very beautiful, with almost feminine faces. However, the structure of their body, their hands, their height were masculine. Their naked feet didn't touch the floor, but rather they went as if gliding. That procession was so beautiful. Some of them were carrying something like a golden bowl with something that shone a great deal with a golden white light. And the Virgin Mary said, they're the guardian angels of the people who are offering this Mass for many intentions. Those who are conscious of what this celebration means. They have something to offer the Lord. Offer yourselves at this moment. Offer your sorrows, your pains, your hopes, your sadness, your joys, your petitions. Remember that the Mass is infinite value. Therefore, be generous in offering and in asking. Behind the first angels, she said, came others who had nothing in their hands. They were coming empty-handed. Virgin Mary said, those are the angels of the people who are here, but who never offer anything. They have no interest in living each liturgical moment of the Mass. They have no gifts to carry before the altar of the Lord. At the end of the procession came other angels who were rather sad, with their hands joined in prayer, but with their eyes downcast. These are the guardian angels of the people who are here, but who do not want to be. That is to say, of the people who have been forced to come here, who have come out of obligation, but without any desire to participate in the Holy Mass. The angels go forth sadly, because they have nothing to carry to the altar except for their own prayer. Do not sadden your guardian angel. Ask for much. Ask for the conversion of sinners, for peace in the world, for your families, your neighbors, for those who ask for your prayers. Ask for much, but not only for yourselves, but for everyone else. Remember that the offering that most pleases the Lord is when you offer yourselves as a holocaust, so that Jesus, upon his descent, may transform you by his own merits. Today our guardian angels have prompted us to come to Mass, and are so pleased we're here. They want to help us truly to pray the Mass and to live the Mass. They want us to prepare for them golden bowls to carry our offerings to the Lord, our sufferings, our work, our prayers, our whole lives. Let's ask their help, and they want to give it, to assist us every day to form those bowls, so that we may join them in praising God in this world and rejoice in their company, praising God forever. The Lord has set his angels in charge over us. May we never cease thanking him for this gift and cooperating with this gift, so that in the sight of the angels we might forever with them sing God's holy praise. Amen.